We are in the middle of a three-week section in Mark's Gospel where each week we read about Jesus performing miracles, healings specifically, and casting out demons. And Mark's intention here is to show how Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, ushering the kingdom into the world. And so it's about the kingdom. If, as is described so beautifully, well, tragically, I suppose, in Job, that first reading, that life is a drudgery, and that sometimes we have sleepless nights, and the dawn just never comes. And you know how it is when you're the only one in the house awake, and it just seems like the night drags on forever. And there's a loneliness about suffering, because we have to do it alone. That reading ends, "I shall not see happiness again." Wow, that's pretty dreary. But the church puts that reading with this gospel today just to point out that there is something wrong in our world, that we're not in the kingdom yet, that we still suffer illness and grief and sorrow and loss and failure, that there, in a sense, life is kind of dreary and hopeless. And then the gospel presents Jesus, God, coming into that human situation and having compassion for it, and being bothered by it. And sometimes we even pretend that we're not bothered by it. We push it aside and keep ourselves busy with something else so we don't have to think about it. But Jesus enters into it and thinks about it, and cares, and has sympathy and compassion. And so he heals it. And the demons have been in control of this world and of human life. And they're what's causing all this problem. And they entered in with human sin with Adam and Eve. And so this is partly the fault of humanity, but it's also this outside influence that's more powerful than us that has a tendency to control us and make our life hopeless. And so the Gospels present the demons having been in charge of the world until Jesus. And then Jesus comes to confront them and to cast them out. And last week we heard this demon say to Jesus, "We know who you are, the Son of God. Have you come to destroy us?" They know him. And they know why he's come. He's come to destroy them. He's come to cast out that hopelessness, that death from the world, and usher in life and light and hope. So here's Jesus taking care of Peter's mother-in-law. And so they tell him about her, and he takes her by the hand very personally and raises her up. And the Greek word used here is the same word for his own resurrection, raised from death. In those days, if you had a fever and you were laid flat, you had a fairly good chance of dying from it. And so there's a sense in which, at least literally speaking, Jesus is raising her from the dead. And again, the same Greek word is used when Jesus does raise Lazarus from the dead. So this is symbolic of his entering into the human condition and redeeming it. And so then it's curious. He raises her up and she waits on them. Now, Mark is saying two things by that. The first thing he's saying is, her cure was complete. She wasn't just able to sit up and then, you know, be alert while other people were walking around. She was so completely cured that she goes about her normal tasks of waiting on them. And the second thing is, redemption calls for service. Our redemption is not just for ourselves. It's for the world. It's for the rest. We are priests of Jesus Christ, and we're ordained to serve. And so St. Paul, in that second reading, says I preach the gospel and I endure hardship and my life, I suppose you could consider it a drudgery, because look at all the things that have happened to me and what a hard life I have, and yet I have found joy in this. And I do it free of charge, and I do it just because my recompense is that you are being saved, and that brings me joy. Well, redemption is always for service. And that's why at the Mass, we always get sent out on mission. Ite missa est, go out and be missionaries. Redeem the world. Participate in the priesthood of Christ by your redemptive acts. And we're not going to save the world. And Jesus didn't either. Notice the text, the gospel text says, he cured many of them. It doesn't say he cured all of them, just many. And he cast out some demons, but not all of them. This is a reminder that we're still not in the fullness of the kingdom. The kingdom has been ushered in, and our lives are filled with hope, and we have purpose. And yet at the same time, we know we're still mired in sin. We know that there's a lot still wrong with the world. There are wars going on all the time. There's oppression and injustice and poverty, and all of that still exists. But we Christians who have been baptized into Christ, we exist as a leaven in the dough. And the leaven takes a long time. You can't watch dough rise. You have to go away for an hour or two and come back and notice that it's happened. And that's the same with us. We don't delude ourselves into thinking that we're going to go out from this Mass and save the world. If Jesus couldn't do that, neither can we. But in the same way that Jesus refuses to stay there in that one place and cure all of them and be their little miracle man and take care of their community, but rather he says, no, I must go on to the other villages. Jesus is an itinerant preacher and healer and miracle worker. He's always on the move. He's always searching out the lost one. He isn't in a stationary place waiting for them to come to him. He goes out looking for them. Well, we're the same. We don't just stay here comfortably in our parish and in our Mass. But we have to go out to the other villages. We have to go out to the people in the margins. We have to find them. And in whatever little ways that that happens in each of our personal missions, we are Christ. St. Paul recognizes that Christ is in him. It's no longer Paul, but Christ living in Paul. And the same is true with us. After having been baptized into him and after having received his body and blood, carrying it in our own bodies, it's no longer we who live, but Christ living in us.